This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Big Bang. Update from the yard. On 105.7 The Fan.
I think all owners are involved, and we're no different than anybody else. We didn't have a financial limit on what he could spend or not spend, but he did want to let us know what he was doing all the time and get our input, and we gave him our input. But our input really was, you know, just relating to learning more about the particular players. It wasn't so much about the money. The money isn't the big issue. We are financially in very good shape.
Wow. How many people you think aren't going to believe that, Ed?
Oh,
just because that's
410-583-1057.
I guarantee these people dial on the phone right now.
They said, I don't believe it.
Yes.
I believe when I see it.
You believe it?
I do. That there's no ceiling? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That's kind of what we suggested going into this thing, that the wallet would be opened up a little bit. You know, I don't. Why do people equate a successful offseason to the team that spends the most money?
I don't know. And, you know, I get it because you're getting big name players. But one of the quotes in that article, if you read anything, I read the stuff from Koska, Jacob Calvin-Meyer. We had Weyrich on last week. A lot of stuff coming out about this. And one of the quotes was, like, Mike Elias has his business model. He looks at contracts and said, this player is worth this amount according to what he puts up and what we project. He even made a statement saying Elias can tell you how many games we're going to win this year and be pretty damn accurate with it. And I believe him, barring something catastrophic happening. But I think those are the types of guys you have. He has a business model in place, and he's not going to go out. And as much as people wanted him to sign Corbin Burns, he's not going to go out and overpay for a 30-year-old pitcher whose numbers are slowly declining.
But yes, and apparently he wanted to leave anyway.
Yes, that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing. I mean, Corbin Burns, it looks like he came here wanting to leave. No offense to the Orioles. He's at a point in his career where he probably just wanted to go back closer to home. He just had a set of twins.
I feel like Elias is the guy that goes to those garage sales, and he's looking for that cheap thing that's worth so much.
Just looking for the Declaration of Independence that nobody knows behind the painting.
And that's what he does. He finds value in it. If you look at what he did in Houston, some of the guys he drafted, they were going, why are you drafting this guy? And then look at what they turned out to be. Everybody thought he was crazy for drafting Carlos Correa first.
Yeah.
And he wasn't. One of the best shortstops we've seen. Now his skills have eroded and he's no longer there. But like,
for his time, he was.
Yes. And again, like, these people that are all of a sudden, I never understood the people that go, ownership won't spend any money. And then you have one offseason with them. He's like, see, I told you, when they spent more money according to what their salary or, you know, what they were spending last year. This was one of the, I mean, when you look at the team and what they've accomplished thus far with all this young talent, when you are ready to go out and pay for the right player, it's got to be the right player. I'm not just jumping like the Yankees did at Max Fried and giving them $200 million because they missed out on Juan Soto.
What's what I was going to suggest? People, you mentioned, Rob mentioned, I think, you know, they equate success with spending in the offseason. Did the Yankees have a successful offseason? You lost Juan Soto. But they spent a ton of money.
Yeah, I think the best thing for the Yankees is maybe getting a full season of Jason Dominguez. That's what I'd be excited about if I was a Yankee fan. But, you know, like, I just look at some of this stuff. Baseball is totally different than the other sports. There's no salary cap. The Mets spent over $1 billion.
Yeah.
$1 billion. So, of course, it's going to look like the Orioles didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And they did. They brought in new players. You've got a lot of guys here and guys getting healthy. Oh, by the way, they don't have a frontline starter. He should be coming back midway through the season.
Did the Mets go to the World Series?
No. It's just, you know, but again,
they went further in the playoffs, but they still lost.
I think people see that type of ownership and go, why can't we do that? I think Rubenstein would be willing to do that.
If it was necessary.
Yes.
I don't think right now is necessary. This is what I think. If we get to that trade deadline and there's something that you just have to have, I think they'll pull the plug this time around. I do. But I think that's what they're waiting for.
Yeah.
I think they want to catch some team desperate because everybody right now is calling out bluff because you've got all these top prospects. Yeah. But if you wait till a team gets desperate, you know, man, look, we got this guy who's not going to be around much longer. We suck this year. We need to the Brewers.
Yeah,
a team like that. Yeah. You know, we need to recoup our farm system. We'll give you this and that for that.
There's two things that people should be happy about, that this team does not just go and trade their top prospect for something that could help right now or that you believe will help. Like, you could be the White Sox trading away Fernando Tatis Jr. for big game James Shields, who did nothing for him. You could be one of these other teams that moves another great prospect all of a sudden to try to get something to help you now and going, well, that didn't work out, because I am not trading the upper echelon guys for 1 year of anything. It just does not make sense when you think about the financials of it. And I'll go back to this.
So you like the Zach Eflin type deals?
I do.
Where you get them half plus one.
I like that, but
I like
again, what they gave up for and understanding the type of pitcher Eflin can be. But the other part of this, too, is I go back to something Rob said, because all these people keep going, well, they're not going to sign Gunnar. I feel like they're going to make a conscientious effort to bring him in. Now, if the money got ridiculous, maybe Elias goes, we just can't do that, but we can do this in our business model. Maybe ownership says, I don't care what it costs, I want to keep that guy.
Yeah, he may be getting a Juan Soto contract.
They just had lunch this past weekend.
I wouldn't be surprised with the way things are going for Scott Boras that he might be one of the few guys that signs before free agency. Because Scott Boras ain't winning like he used to win.
No. Mm-hmm. Pete Alonso had to sign that 2-year deal.
Yeah, Scott Boras is not winning the way he used to win. His offseason last year wasn't that good. He lost with Blake Snell and who's the other pitcher?
Jordan Montgomery.
He's not winning like he used to win.
And this year he's running into some other problems. There's still players out there.
Uh-huh.
They're like, hey, where am I going?
if I'm Gunner, you can flash that half bill. Why not?
Yeah, look, I think when you look at this team, and Rob's right, when you start looking at the superstars that are on this team, they're young. And you want to see how much better they're going to get with another year under their belt. And people are like, well, you just can't expect it. Yes, I can, because that's what happens with these young stars. Look at Juan Soto when he started off. Look at what he did in year two. Mm-hmm. Look at year three. Just keep looking at the years.
But don't we agree, and from the business end, though, before you sign guys to that kind of money, because there's this thing called escrow, don't you have to know that you can make some of that money back off of them?
Yes,
to me,
absolutely.
Guys like Shohei, that's a no-brainer. You know how much money I can get from Japan and this country? So Shohei has probably already paid his own contract. You know, you got Juan Soto in New York? Come on, one of the biggest Latin American populations there is around?
Yeah.
Juan Soto has already made his money for the Mets. So you can go ahead and pay that forward.
I think they're already building a statue, and he hasn't taken it back yet.
Exactly. So before I get that guy $500 million plus, I got to make sure that I'm going to get some return. That's an investment.
And you got to see that the business model's working. And again, I don't know, understanding that Rubenstein's been a good businessman, that's how you make this money. That's how you've done things the right way. They're already working on the farm system and all the things down in Florida and spring training and putting in other outlets. They're adding to the stadium, which he talked about. It'll be over 3 years. And these are the things that people care about, but they don't care about right now. They care about winning.
Well, I think they do. They just want everything.
Yeah.
They want everything. And all these things planned. We talk about Corbin Burns wanting to go back to Arizona for his family.
Mm-hmm.
Rob just brought up the big – forget the Latin – Dominican population.
Yeah.
The Dominican population in New York City is 200,000 more people than we have in Baltimore. There's 700,000 Dominicans in New York. 700,000. Baltimore's only 550,000 people. Think about it.
It's the biggest, their population of Dominicans is a bigger city than we live in.
Do they have that 10% of the massage parlors up there, too?
They're higher.
Oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
World of Stupid at 7:30, that reminds me of that. But on the other side, do you think Hyde and Elias are under some pressure for the season? Again, Mark Kotze signed a 3-year extension with the Oakland A's. See, some pressure over here. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. You feel almost silly to ask this question, but we do know that it is a question. Mike Elias and Brandon Hyde, are they under any pressure this year? And if so, is one under more pressure than the other? I'll give you an example. Orioles went from 25-35 in 2020, then 52-110 in 2021. Then, bam, 31 games better the next year at 83-79. 101-61, and then 91-71. Is there pressure for the GM/manager, Jeremy? And if so, is one under more pressure than the other?
I mean, I don't think either are under the type of pressure that some fans are going to think they're under. But yeah, they're under some because there's expectations now, which makes everything different. When you look at Hyde, I've seen more people complain about bullpen, Sunday lineups. You guys got to get over the damn Sunday lineup thing because that's getaway day, and that's usually when you get a lineup like that. That's why they're called Sunday lineups.
Nice day, yeah.
But those types of things that he gets criticized for, he'll be under the microscope even more because now there's more eyes on it. I do think people are going to criticize Elias until he makes that big signing or big trade because they thought it was Corbin Burns, but you don't keep him. But I think that was part of the business model to begin with. You got a first-round pick back and traded two prospects that were relatively blocked here.
And are those guys under any kind of pressure, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think there is. I don't know how intense it's going to be. They're not going anywhere. But I'd say the expectations, because they're growing. Yeah, you know, I'm sure, you know, like everybody else, everybody says they don't listen to, you know, the talk radio, and they don't listen to opinions.
You listen to us.
They listen. They do. Obviously, say something, you know, off color. See how quick they call. They're listening. But yeah, I think there is pressure on them. Because, you know, after a while, it's like, okay, it's great. You go to the playoffs every year.
See, and
you can't have that.
I think there's intense pressure.
Yeah. Do you? See, I think the fans are the ones that are trying to bring the pressure, and I just don't think it's there. Like, do you think if they go to the playoffs and don't win the World Series that Hyde's getting fired? I think
Hyde is under more scrutiny than Elias.
Well, I mean, the thought with Hyde was, remember, we all said it, he was the guy before the guy, right?
Yep.
That's what we thought. And then all of a sudden we're like, oh, this team's pretty good.
And they like him. They like him a lot.
I like Hyde as well. I know there's a lot of people that question some of the pitching stuff, but I just think it's neither here nor there. Like, you don't know who's available on a daily basis. They don't come out and tell you that right away because they don't want the other team knowing. There are certain guys that aren't going to maybe not pitch back-to-back days. You won't see him pitch 3 days in a row. Oh, why is this guy closing a game? Because your closer went 2 days before that. Like, use some common sense.
Why do I have to do that? I'm watching baseball.
I mean, baseball, again, we keep going back to this thing with it's 162 games. It's a long-ass season. You're going to go through losing streaks. You're gonna have some down times where it feels like the pitching can't get right. How many times have we said, when they pitch, they don't hit. When they hit, they don't pitch.
Can't get right.
Yeah, I mean, it felt that way for a long period of time. Now you have a good team. But I think what people get worried about are keeping up with the Joneses. They see the Red Sox and Yankees signing big-time players, and the Orioles didn't do it, or at least what they believe. Because, again, I think those players are already here. The Yankees lost one of the two best players in the American League last year. They're trying to replace him now within or by grabbing some old vets. And I don't know that that's necessarily – I still think they're going to have a good bullpen and be a good team.
I think they're going to have a very good bullpen.
Don't get me wrong. But that being said, like, they threw a lot of money at a problem last year hoping it fixes it.
Let's call to the phone lines, 410-583-1057, Westminster. Mike, what's up, Mike?
Good morning, fellas. What's up?
Not much, man. What's up with you?
I'm coming a little hot today.
Okay.
I'm sick and tired of Elias bashers. I am. This guy, look, I understand Kotze just re-signed for, what, 3 years? I didn't see the terms or whatever. But look at that team. Now, if you want to say that, okay, well, you can't compare Oakland to Baltimore. Well, you can, really. Go back beyond pre-Elias. Look at the previous 15 years. They're a low-market, crappy team. You got Elias, who has turned his team around, won 200 games in the last 2 years practically, made the playoffs, yet doesn't go far in the playoffs. Is that his fault? He drafted Gunnar Henderson, who was just ranked the 10th best player in baseball. Look at his track record. Give him time. Have faith in the system. Have faith in the process. I think this team is good. I think they're going to get better. And given the chance, I think Elias will pull the trigger. I don't know what the owner wants to do. I don't know this guy. I don't know his spending habits. But if that guy, like you were talking about, comes around trade deadline, mega, mega need, we got to have this guy, I think they'll pull the trigger. And they got to back, especially your boy Lockham Four. All he does is bash Elias. I'm sick of that guy. I'm done.
Well,
I just went down a rabbit hole because you talked about the Sunday lineup. According to my unofficial count, Rob Log Math, Orioles were 14-13 on Sundays. So not horrible.
Yeah.
And that's their worst lineup every day, every week.
Usually. I mean, usually that's
everybody's worst lineup.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, so you give them off on a Sunday.
Show me a starting catcher to play Sunday.
Yeah. It just doesn't
happen.
Salvador Perez once was playing every damn game. His backup catcher was the best job to have in the world.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, oh, Sal's catching again? Okay, I'll just be back here. You guys let me know if you need me. Like, you don't see that often. But the same thing to what Rob's talking about on Sundays, like, you take off Sunday, or you give a player off Sunday, and then you're off Monday. Now they get 2 days of rest that they would never, typically wouldn't get.
Mm-hmm. Right?
So there are reasons why those days happen like that. You'll see the same things at times on Wednesdays and Thursdays because they're getaway day as well.
410-583-1057 is the number. Rosedale, Antonio. Good morning, Antonio.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. Happy Taco Tuesday, guys.
Yes, happy Taco Tuesday.
Who will be the Orioles' opening day starting pitcher? Eflin or Gonzalez? Have a wonderful day, guys.
Rodriguez, you mean?
Wait, Rodriguez. Yeah.
I think Rodriguez.
I think they're on the road, right? They're starting. So, like, the one thing I was saying to Rob is I could see Rodriguez opening and an Eflin second, or vice versa, one of those two guys. And then when you come back home for the home opener, maybe you're seeing, you know, our new pitcher, one of the two new pitchers, Charlie Morton or the Japanese pitcher.
Because it's only the fifth day.
Yeah.
They don't have any off days in Toronto.
So you could showcase one of the new guys you got on opening day. And historically, I know it's one of those weird trends.
Dome. Yeah, that's right. So no days off.
So I just think that you're...
I think it's odd to open up the season on a four-game series, though. Maybe it's not baseball odd, but it's definitely
baseball. Well, it's odd because...
It's Orioles odd, isn't it?
They're playing in a dome, and that's the only reason why, because they have to... Like, any outdoor stadium is going to give you the next day off,
right,
or at least have a way to manage it.
Yeah, so four-game set up in Toronto, then back home that weekend.
Look, this is going
to
be fun this year.
Back to the beginning of the week, I should say. That's the weekend series, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
I didn't realize how much I miss baseball. Because, like, again, talking about football, I love football, but I do think this sport is getting so watered down, man.
What, football?
Yeah, I don't think it's as exciting or as fun. There's too many things that the refs can control and do in a game. There's too many things that happen that fans are questioning now. I just don't enjoy it the way that I used to.
Wow.
I'm not saying I hate it. I'm still watching it.
You just don't have the same...
No, I don't have the same desire that I have for baseball.
You weren't as sad when the season ended as you were 10 years ago.
Nope. You'd sit here and go through February. I'd flip right to the NBA. Now, they pissed me off this weekend, but that's another story. But, like, you know, you start looking at college basketball. This is one of the best college basketball
seasons. If you ain't watching, you're missing. You're missing. I told you the game that I was watching yesterday.
Yeah, some random ass.
Lehigh. And,
yeah. And I think Lehigh recruited me. What are you watching them for?
I'm serious, man. Last night I was watching Lehigh Bucknell. I did get a... Bucknell did come visit me, Zach, and Brian Nichols.
You want to throw him in there, too?
He was being recruited by him. Little do we know.
But it is like, you know, again, like tonight, you've got a huge matchup in the Big Ten with Purdue and Michigan State. You've got more top 25 matchups going on. I think there's three games tonight. Like last night, you had Baylor and Arizona. Like, it's a top 25. You have matchups of top 25 teams playing each other almost every day of the week. It's crazy.
Speaking of college basketball, we're going to talk some college basketball at 7:45, Maryland in particular. But on the other side, we get stupid with Jeremy Cohn.
Yeah, some fun stories here. I was kind of alluding to one with Ed, but I'll tell you this. There's a woman that said she slept with 600 men in 2024. She's looking to settle down now. Hello, hello. We'll talk about her. And is that something you want to know beforehand? Probably not. We had an interesting story with a shark attack in Turks and Caicos. I want to tell you the story about this. Somebody, I don't know why you would reach your hands in the water and try to touch a shark, but okay, we'll talk about that. And my favorite story of the day, we're going to talk about Peru. Because Peruvian police are doing all kinds of craziness when they're busting drug traffickers. You got to see some of the pictures. And I also want to talk about Peru to see if there's some things that people know, because it's listed in this story of what you can do in Peru. We'll talk about that coming up in the World of Stupid here on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's start off with this tourist in Turks and Caicos. I don't know why people do dumb things all the time. Like, and a Canadian tourist lost both her hands when she tried to take a picture with a 6-foot shark. Swimming in Turks and Caicos. She wanted to take a picture. Smile big, let me see your teeth. The 55-year-old woman was snorkeling off Providenciales. I don't know if I said that right, but it's the main island. When she tried to engage with the animal from the shallows in an attempt to take photographs, and of course, this is what happened. She ended up clamped down on her hand, tried to get free. Her husband jumped in the water to try to like scare the thing away. By that time, she had already damaged both hands so much that she had to have one arm amputated right below the wrist. So she just lost her hand there, and the other one halfway up her forearm. And again, like people are saying, there were only 88 sharks attack around the world last year. I forget which comedian said it. Hey, a shark attack. You were trespassing. Yeah. I don't know. If you see a shark in the water, I don't know why people all of a sudden are going to think. I mean, there's some that are, I don't want to say harmless, but you know, there are
some more dangerous.
You don't have
others,
to worry about them attacking you. But when you're in shallow water and you see a 6-foot shark, I ain't going up to that damn thing.
And frankly, would you know the difference between a bull shark and a lemon shark or a tiger? No. So why would you even want to get
a... Oh, it's a lemon shark. He eats fruit. No, that's not it. All right. How about this story? Let's see how you guys feel about this. This is a tough one. I slept with 600 men in 2024. Joe, isolate that. Now I'm looking to settle down and find love. I'll beat you guys to the punch. I can only imagine how that's going to come back and haunt me. This girl, Australia's most sexually active woman, has revealed she's ready to settle down after going on just one date in the last 2 years. Annie Knight is known for her sex challenges, such as her bid to sleep with 500 people in 2024. In 2025, she's aiming to sleep with 1,000 people, with half being virgins. But she says after this, she's ready to settle down. Ed, are you ready to settle down? What? She's a very pretty girl. I'm sure you guys want to see the picture.
It's married.
Huh? Oh, it is. You want to see the picture?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, very good looking girl.
How many men has she slept with?
601 year. So her body count.
It's quite a number.
Yeah. I think she's taken more men than the French-Indonesian war. But that being said, Ed, what is it better to not know this or to know it?
It's 600 men in 1 year. You'll figure it out one way or the other.
Yeah, I'd want to know it.
You'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I
know. You may not know the number, but you'll know.
Damn, you're really good at this. It's a lot of practice.
Well, there's that.
I mean, can you contract your muscles a little bit for me?
The whole hand? Oh, sorry. However, despite still focusing on her career, she's only 28 years old. She's revealed that she's actively aggressive. Looking for love. I'm looking for someone loyal, non-judgmental, accepting of my job, someone who makes me laugh. Looks aren't as important, but I obviously need to be physically attracted to them. So then looks are important. I think now is the right time. I've set myself up doing challenges. What are you practicing for? Your husband so you can be perfect for him? I mean, there's got to be some other things that come along with that, too. I don't know you're rolling through 600 men and not picking up something along the way. Sorry.
I'm with you.
Number game is just not working. She said last time she went out with a real estate agent, she hated to add the stereotype, but labeled the man a whore. Oh, that's what you labeled him? Okay. Anyway, let's get to this last story because this one's fun. Peruvian police, they won't stop doing bits when arresting criminals. They busted drug traffickers lately, this last one, in a giant, adorable capybara costume. And you might say, why? All right, well, let me start with this. There are a couple of things that people know about Peru, and some mm-hmm. you may not know. Machu Picchu, right? That's mm-hmm. a very yeah. famous place there. Yeah. Did you know it's legal to carry up to 2 grams of cocaine for personal use there?
No.
And they also eat guinea pigs. It's a delicacy there, mm-hmm. and supposed to bring good luck when you eat them. Don't know that I want any of that luck. I'm not eating a guinea pig. I don't know why. Like something that you've kept as a pet, I don't think I could eat it. I mean, if someone's like, I don't know. Anyway, and then the last thing they say, police wear hilarious costumes when making drug busts. This is not the first time. At Christmas, the police made a drug bust as the Grinch. There they are taking the photos with all the drugs. And this cat is dressed up like the Grinch.
He's got a patch around his neck and everything.
Let me get these other pictures. So the other one that they had recently was, hey, around Halloween, they made a drug bust dressed up as Wolverine and Deadpool. I don't know what the hell's going on, if they're going undercover in these costumes or what, but they've made a ton of them. So far, they've arrested people. These are the police. We're dressed as Ninja Turtles, the Heath Ledger-style Joker, Sesame Street Muppet characters, including Elmo, Cookie Monster, Snuffleupagus, a samurai, a two-man horse costume where one person's the head and the other one's the ass, Mr. Peanut, a sumo wrestler blow-up fat suit, sports mascot like the Stanford Tree, Philly Fanatic, Gritty, Oregon Duck, McGruff the Crime Dog, and fast food chain mascots. They said the Village People as well. Ronald McDonald, Grimace, Colonel Sanders,
Hamburglar.
And that creepy ass king from the Burger King commercials. Oh, like, why? I don't understand why they're always dressed up when they arrest people. And this last one, here's the video of the capybara wearing a turtle backpack. Look at this. And for people who don't know what capybara, they're like
giant rats.
They're giant rodents. Yeah. You'll see a lot of South American countries have them jumping in the water. They swim. They end up being a meal for a lot of big cats and crocodiles. So, but this
has somebody pinned to the floor. Mm. It's hilarious.
He just
in a costume.
Yes, yeah. He just cuffed him in a Capybara costume.
They take every picture in a damn costume when they make a drug bust. It's like they have to dress up for it. This is insane,
That's
man.
Funny.
Now, have you ever had a weird situation where you're dressed up and you had to make an arrest?
I like that.
Like a Halloween costume or something? Or
no.
Rob, you?
I was in plain clothes and I was dressed up in a costume.
No.
We used to have people pose as like homeless and sleep, sit in the street and on subway trains, but that's about it.
Look at the Grinch breaking down the door. How the hell, man? It's like they so many different costumes chasing after criminals. So now you got to be careful. You know, you're looking around. Anybody undercover? Now you got to check all the mascots walking around. I'd hate to be in Times Square right now. But I guess you don't have to worry about those guys. That's your world of stupid.
Thank you very much, Jeremy Kahn. 410-583-1057 is the number. We got Mike Bordick at 845 to talk a little Orioles baseball. But on the other side, Maryland hoops go up in the AP poll. Maryland taking care of business. Jeremy, I wanted you to tell me where you think Maryland will be seeded in the NCAA tournament at this pace. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 7:47 at the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Maryland moves up to number 20 in the country, Ed. Another good win on Sunday as well. I thought for sure they were about to get run out of the gym at home. Gave up 51 points at halftime. I'm thinking to myself, they're going to give up 100 points. Well, 100 points was scored, but it was by Maryland, not by Nebraska.
Damn.
Man, they ran them out the gym. Not Nebraska, Iowa.
Iowa, yeah. Iowa does not, play defense. they score with the best of them. They've got shooters. They've got actually a couple guys inside out that I think can play well. It's funny watching them because I do think it's a fun brand of basketball, but it's not a winning brand of basketball.
Jeremy, you said about don't play defense. They scored 51 points in the first half. They scored 24 in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's not just, not only do they not play defense, their offense can't get cranked up whenever they want to. Maryland scored 54 in the second half, and it just seemed like they could do no wrong.
They look like they're just, I'm stating the obvious, really headed in the right direction right at the right time. They've been playing good basketball as of late, so I'm just happy they cracked the top 25, you know, because I felt they should have been up there a little earlier, but now they're number 20 in the country. I'm real happy with this. It's actually fun to talk about, and they look forward to, you know, to March Madness.
Can you imagine Jacoby Gillespie in the NCAA tournament setting, man? The guy already, guards rule in tournament play. You got Gillespie and Miguel out there, and Roddy Rice is no slouch himself. He had, 18 points on Sunday? Maryland is, that's set up real nice for tournament play.
I mean, look, I think they can play with anyone. I still think the upper echelon, there's about six or seven teams that I don't know that they're in their class. Doesn't mean they can't beat them on any given day.
Right.
But I do think this is a top 15 team, and I think they should be. I mean, you asked me before.
Well, seeded.
I think they should be at least a four seed by the end of the year. Yeah. It just makes it tough because I've seen some people try to label them as a seven. You're still going to have to win the games you're supposed to win.
I think they're a six seed.
And that you might be right, but I think they have enough talent to get there, and it all depends on what they do in the Big Ten tournament as well, which I also think is very winnable.
See, this is what gets them to a four seed, Jeremy. They've got to beat either Michigan State or Michigan and not lose another game.
Mm-hmm.
They have five games remaining. They have to go 4-1 down the stretch. If they go 4-1, that means they're going to beat either Michigan or Michigan State.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to beat one of them to go 4-1.
And those games I don't have in front of me, are they on the road, at home, the Michigan?
Michigan State is home. That's on the 26th. Michigan on the 5th is on the road.
Okay.
And that's the last game.
They still have that game at Penn State, too, right?
Penn State.
Because that's where they've always struggled for whatever reason. God, I bet against Maryland every time they went to Penn State. You know, like...
They got to go at least 4-1 down the stretch to get that number four seed.
But I go back to it. Like, I think Kansas is out of the top 25 next week. I think they lose tonight. And you're looking at a team... There's a bunch of those teams that are kind of scuffling, especially in the Big 12. But I would look at this and say that I do think they have the capabilities of getting up there because the other teams that are in that mix, maybe they have better resumes. But when all's said and done, I think this team is going to make that run and have a pretty decent seed come tournament time. I think they make a deep run in the Big Ten tournament, too.
What on earth is wrong with college basketball when you think Kansas is going on the road to lose to BYU?
Yep. BYU's favored in that game.
I know they are. I'm not saying. I said what's wrong. I didn't say what's wrong with you.
Like
I said what's wrong with college basketball.
Let me.
Did you?
So
I said what's wrong with you?
Kansas can't win on the road. They suck on the road. And ironically, Kansas State wins every game at home. It doesn't matter who they play. Kansas just went there and got their asses beat. And I don't know, man. There's just something missing with that team, and I think they're going to struggle. But I don't think they'll be ranked next week.
I think the game of the night is at 7 o'clock. It is obvious. You can watch it if you got the Peacock Network. It's Purdue at Michigan State. That's the game of the night.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying it's the only game I want to watch because you know I got a Jones for Texas A&M.
You also got an Illinois Wisconsin.
I've been telling you about Texas A&M now for about 6 weeks.
I think they might be in trouble tonight.
You think so against Mississippi State?
It's the SEC going on the road in the SEC. It's tough, man. It's very tough. Remember when they asked Ron Washington, tell him how difficult it is to play first base. It's incredibly difficult. Or what do you say? Tell him how easy it is.
Yeah.
It's incredibly difficult. And that's what, I mean, look at these teams that are going on the road and losing. Vanderbilt knocking off top 25 teams at home. Georgia winning at home. Kentucky just went to Texas, and Texas just got spanked by Bama.
Is it
Kentucky
bad that I lost. Think Florida is fraudulent?
It's not bad. I mean, they are a jump shooting team.
I think they're fraudulent, man. They just don't do it for me.
They've got like two of the best.
Number two in the country. They just don't do it for me.
They got like two of the best 3-point shooters in the country.
What do you think of St. John's?
I like them. They've got a. I mean, I called the upset last week when St. John's lost. It's about the only thing I got right.
They play tomorrow against DePaul.
And St. John's won yesterday, too. Was it yesterday or Sunday?
Sunday, I think.
They were favored by Sunday. They were favored by 5.5, and they won, covered. That's what I care about. The other part of this, too, when you start looking at these teams in the top 25, it makes you wonder, are any of these SEC teams going to just devour each other to where they all have similar records? Could Maryland leapfrog any of those if they do better?
Did we cover on Saturday? You didn't hit me up.
No, I did. You covered.
We covered, all right.
Yeah.
Make sure.
Pulled away each quarter. Help cover the spread.
Did you pick that one?
Yeah. I told you, I didn't get much right. After their last loss, I'm like, this team's going to show up. I just feel sorry for the next team. That's what happens.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show. Fan. Every time I see this, and I know it's a different sport, I scratch my head. Mark Kotze got a 3-year contract extension.
It's so funny.
What in the hell, man? Yeah.
Hey,
they improved last year. He was there for 3 years. They improved last year. First year, they didn't lose 100 games. They lost 93.
And we went over this last week as I was doing stupid unwritten rules or things in sports that just don't make sense.
Yeah.
And one of them is, why the hell is a baseball manager in full uniform?
And it's only sport.
he's at the press conference in full uniform.
Only sport.
Like, oh, I got to get dressed up. Let me put on my jersey.
Football coaches did that. Came out in helmet, shoulder pads.
There was a guy that called and said the only reason it's because technically, you have to be in uniform to step on the field.
Okay. I mean, but that's still
they could
stupid.
Probably change that rule if they wanted to.
I don't know. That was just what the caller said. He called twice, actually, to remind me.
Well, look.
That's treated very loosely because most managers aren't in uniform.
Yeah, they wear like windbreakers.
Yeah, they're out of uniform.
It says if you just have the base layer on, you're not going up like, who was the one guy that we said that was the only one that wore a suit?
Oh, you're talking about Mike Nolan, or are you talking about baseball?
No, baseball. There was two. Rob, you had mentioned it to me on Friday. I can't remember.
You got to go way back to
Stengel?
Casey?
No,
Casey
Connie Mack.
Connie Mack. Yeah.
Redneck Connie Mack. Yeah. The other thing with this too is like talking about they all wear cleats, right?
Yeah. No.
Managers don't wear cleats.
They wear what they call batting shoes. They're not real cleats.
I think it makes more sense, especially walking in the dugout and all that other nonsense.
Right.
But yeah, all right. Stirrups? Did the manager have to wear stirrups? It is stupid. Could you imagine the basketball coach over there in gym shorts and a jersey?
That would be hilarious.
Rob over there without the suit on, he just got on the same jersey.
I was going to say, the way the college and high school coaches dress now,
oh yeah,
you may as well put the uniform on. They look a mess. I'm watching major college basketball games, and dude, you look a mess. You are the CEO of a Division I program, and you're dressed. Don't get me started.
Struck a chord.
Don't get me started, man. It's do better. You look sloppy. Do better, man. Seriously, you got a hoodie on. You're wearing a hoodie. You're on the sideline coaching the game, and you're wearing a hoodie. This is not the YMCA. You're wearing a hoodie, dude.
Why do I feel like he's talking to me?
No, not you. You ain't on the sideline coaching.
Damn, man.
John Means is with the Guardians now. Will the Olds regret that? We'll talk about that at 8:15. But on the other side, Reviews of the NBA All-Star game have not been great.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't blame the NBA anymore. I blame you. And I'll tell you why up next on The Fan.